The 50 worst decisions in music history. Motley Crue comes in at number 22.
Okay.
Let's bring in Boss Keith. Good morning.
Hello.
There he is.
Yeah, Motley Crue firing Vince Neil.
Right.
Hiring what's his face?
John Corabi from The Scream.
Right.
But this is in 1994, right? So they didn't know what to do. Their career was over at this point. Grunge had changed music. Hair metal was dead. So I think they were looking at each other like, well, we got to come up with a new plan here.
And Vince had some problems.
Right. And like, you know, the whole Sharon thing with Van Halen, Karabi's a great singer.
Yeah,
he just wasn't
true.
For that band.
This is certainly fake.
No, they didn't pick a scrub.
Who?
No, he didn't come out of
nowhere.
Who's
this person?
John Corabi?
Who is he?
I can't remember the name of the band he's in.
He was in another band that no one heard of.
Right.
He's in one of these AJ 80s bands.
Hang on, I'll find it.
Accept. Or what's that other band that you like? Vanderslice?
Vandenberg.
Right. These fake 80s, like, no-name hair metal
Your
bands.
Your band is too little. You too.
At least it's a band that people know.
Like
Vandersloot.
They couldn't use an X. So you too.
You know, my best band of 1980s. Vandergraff.
I saw Motley Crue with John Corabi. It was not Motley Crue.
Right.
It's just something different.
Are you Googling what terrible band he was in?
I'm trying to think about this.
Like even Google doesn't know. Even Google's like, this is a fake guy that nobody knows. If he walked in here now, we wouldn't know.
Now
it'd
be perfect for Andre to call right in.
But if he was standing in the lobby with the guy here to fix the Xerox, I would say, are you with the Xerox guy? Like, that's exactly what this is it. This person is.
He's with a Scream. Let's see.
Oh, big band.
Yeah, a lot of cardboard vampires.
it's like you're making up words.
But you make a good point. Is that number 22? Because they were dead in the water anyway.
It was over. Like,
it didn't ruin their career.
They needed time to, you know, they needed years to pass so they could come back in the 2000s.
That was less like a light bulb moment where it's like, this is going to take us to the next level. And more just like, what can we do to stay relevant?
Oh, and by the way, we're going to that last part segment.
If they had fired Vince Neil in 1987, that's a bigger story. Yeah. You know, firing Vince Neil in 1994 and trying to become fake Nine Inch Nails or whatever they did, it's not really a story. I don't think it's good enough for the list.
Number two on the list, Jerry Lee Lewis marries his underage cousin.
That's a big one.
It's never gone away.
It ruined his career.
It never gone away.
It did.
He was on track to be Elvis, really. When Jerry Lee Lewis traveled to England for his first time overseas in 1958, he decided to bring his new wife. When he landed at Heathrow Airport, they asked him about the young woman. They asked her to identify herself. She said, I'm Myra, Jerry's wife. And a reporter turned to Jerry and said, how old is she? He said 15. The press dug in, found out she was 13, and his cousin.
She was holding a Barbie doll.
Imagine if Twitter or TMZ existed then, what this would be like.
Right.
I can't imagine. We would never even hear his name again. That would have ended everything.
He was done fast.
Or he'd be on every talk show.
He was done really fast.
Let's think about today.
The marriage didn't last. The career was basically over. He made some money on oldies circuits after that, and he did some country music.
Nice.
I think they put him in the Country Music Hall of Fame.
Right. They did.
Right.
But
as a janitor.
He was done. That was death nail.
Yeah. Over.
That's why I disagree with number one being the Stones hiring the Hells Angels for their concert.
That's not number one.
It didn't ruin their career. A life ended.
Yeah, but it killed
the 60s.
It killed the 60s. It killed the hippie movement. And then it became the dark, you know, scary 70s of Watergate and the end of Vietnam and all that. That's why. That's the end of the Woodstock generation.
Right. I think it was over.
But that concert didn't end all that.
No.
It feels like it.
Well, I don't know. A couple assassinations, a Vietnam War.
Yeah.
But what I think's interesting about the list is I would say that Elvis choosing to do movies in the 60s is kind of bigger than a lot of these.
That's a good one.
You know, Elvis saying whatever year it was, after he gets out of the army, the colonel telling him that he's got to do all these movies right when the Beatles are starting. I feel like that's a bigger decision, a terrible terrible decision that sort of ruined his career, or him or Elvis never touring Europe. Like, stuff like that, I thought should be higher.
Not being on a diet is another one.
Or just right, hiring Dr. Nick to give you pills. Hiring anybody, any doctor who uses his first name.
Hiring a chef was a bad idea.
Right. Number 27 on this Rolling Stone list of top 50 worst decisions in rock is Elvis turning down a role in A Star Is Born.
Oh. Right, and that's the end. That's the end of his career, right?
Yeah.
Like 75.
Yep, 75. It was the 76 remake. They asked, Barbra Streisand wanted Elvis to be in it.
Wow.
Colonel Tom Parker said, I want more money. I don't want him portrayed as a washed-up artist.
Right.
And I want him to have top billing.
And
they're like, yeah.
Barbra Streisand's like, I'm going to do what I want.
Yeah, yeah. what's Kris Kristofferson doing?
Right.
And then there's one on the list, the one that isn't on the list that I thought was a really big deal. So in 1996, at the height of their fame, Pearl Jam decides to fight Ticketmaster.
Oh, yeah.
So it's, you know, when you think about it now, I mean, they were right. With all this Taylor Swift stuff, they were certainly right. But in 1996, after three giant albums, they take themselves out of the limelight. They make a really weird record, and they spend a year fighting Ticketmaster and tour like fake venues.
Right.
So they don't play in the mid-90s at the height of their fame. They don't play Gillette Stadium. They play like a shed in Randall's Island, New York, where there's no concessions.
Any place that didn't have an exclusive contract with Ticketmaster, they would look at and play.
Well, and you could say,
my backyard.
obviously they still tour, but they have not had kind of the mainstream radio national success.
Relevancy.
Yeah, they, after that Ticketmaster battle, they never had another song really. I mean, they did a cover that was pretty big, but besides that, they never had an original song of their own from then on that really like became mass appeal. I think that was a huge decision. They were right, but I think it was a mistake for their career.
That started with them doing a benefit concert, and they saw that Ticketmaster was going to charge the service fee.
Yeah.
And they asked Ticketmaster, don't charge the service fee. This is a benefit.
Yeah.
Ticketmaster said, nah.
And Ticketmaster service fee, that was like $1.75.
It wasn't a lot.
Those Ticketmaster service fees for the Taylor Swift show are like $90.
Yeah.
It's like ridiculous amounts.
It went off.
Yep. Yeah. Number three on the list, Decca Records passes on signing the Beatles.
Wow.
That's a big one. And, you know, there's a lot. That's a big one.
That could be number one.
You see anybody?
That could be number one.
You see anybody from Decca that's still walking funny?
Yeah.
And what about the guys that were in the Beatles that got kicked out before they became famous?
Pete Best. That's another
Pete
guy. Like, it'll never go away. People talk about it all the time.
Yeah, you say Beatles and they all think it's a Twitch.
Yeah, but can you imagine being Pete Best in the 60s? You could not turn on a radio?
No.
The Beatles held the top five positions on the chart.
In like every country in the world.
Every country.
He just could not escape.
I think he joined Greenpeace at a Peace Corps those years.
But then everywhere he went for the rest of time, Beatles are always playing too.
Yeah,
you know,
still today.
Right, he's in the grocery store. He's like, godforsaken.
Oh, look,
Beatles.
Penny Lane.
Can you look up Pete Best? Just see if is he alive?
I believe so.
Oh, I want to say yes.
He's just in a white room shaking constantly.
He's still alive.
Wow. He is, really?
Yeah, he's 81. Yeah.
So don't you think McCartney should throw him a bone one day?
Yes.
Be like, join me on stage and play whatever.
No. Be like,
or just send him a million.
Throw me a check, yes.
Right, yeah.
Right. So I'm sure he's written books and stuff like, oh, how I screwed this up. But, man, it's got to make him crazy.
Or take photos of a loser.
He didn't fit the image of the band they were trying to build.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. The good thing about them not being accepted by Decca, and by the way, the Beatles made a demo. I think it was like 15 songs on tape for Decca in January 1st, 1962. Decca rejected the group. The label signed Brian Poole and the Tremulous instead.
I'm sure AJ loves them.
I have no idea who they are.
Brian Poole's got great songs.
I have no idea.
He was the great lead singer of Warrant after Janie Lane left.
Right.
However, the good news is it put the Beatles on course to George Martin.
Oh, see?
Yeah, and he was like the fifth Beatle, so he produced all their songs.
Right,
so it's one of those things that you say, if they signed to Decca, would they have ever become the Beatles? Like, without George Martin and without his guidance, do they just become hermits? You know, who knows?
Right. Yeah.
That's what the guy who turned down Jimmy Page said about Led Zeppelin.
Terry Reed's not on the list.
Yeah.
Oh.
Jimmy Page offered Terry Reid the vocal spot in Zeppelin.
As like a teenager. Yeah.
And he said, Terry Reid was 16 years old and just he was in a band that just signed on to tour with the Rolling Stones.
Right.
Said, I'm busy. But try Robert Plant.
Again, same thing. Like, you don't know the course. So Jerry Lee Lewis marrying his cousin who's 13, like, that definitely makes sense.
It seems pretty ironclad.
Right.
That, like, that's going to mess you up.
This is bad. Leonard Skinner gets on the plane. This is bad.
That's all that textbook stuff.
But, like, this one, it's like a judgment call, you know?
Right.
Because they might have not become the Beatles. I have a U2 one.
They did make the list.
Yes, they did.
Oh, they did. Oh, yes, they did the iPhone thing, right?
Yeah.
Putting the phone on it. I don't think that's as bad as in 1997, after a string of awesome albums that the whole world loved. You know, Achtung Baby and the Joshua Tree. In 1997, they make an experimental techno album. It's a dance album called Pop, and they tour the country in a giant lemon.
Oh, the lemon!
Right, they get stuck in the lemon like Spinal Tap at one point.
Wait, what?
It is an absolute embarrassment. And the shows don't sell out. Like, so they play Foxborough, they play Giant Stadium, and the shows don't sell out.
It's like a third of the crowd was there.
It's a huge problem. Even the band admits, like, that album was terrible, we shouldn't have toured, like, all of it was real bad, and to the point where they had to regroup, and then in the year 2000, they released Beautiful Day as, like, their big comeback album. So that is U2's big mistake, 1997's Pop.
Yes, I'm remembering this now, because it's funny that they're stuck in a lemon.
Yeah,
because
they were.
It's ironic. Yeah. This is a lemon.
Right.
The whole thing's a lemon.
The show's a lemon. Right. The tour's a lemon. We're stuck in a lemon.
Right. Yeah. They were the pits. Yep.
So I have a T-shirt. When I went to that show, I have the shirt, and the front of the shirt is a lemon. Like, the whole bit was lemon.
Wow.
And everything was a lemon.
Right.
And didn't Bono at some point become the Fly or something?
That's the actual. That's cool, though. I'm into that. That's during Shoe TV. Yeah, that's actually.
So he took on this other.
Yeah, so after the Joshua, I mean, I can make a podcast about this.
I'm sure you could.
Keith talks U2 nonsense for 7 hours.
No one listens, but yeah.
But after the Joshua TV, they thought they were too serious. So he adopted this Fly persona, and then he made Achtung Baby, which is their, like, pinnacle album.
Right.
Then they get in the lemon.
Yeah,
Learn more on my Twitter.
Someone else who took on an alter ego was Garth Brooks.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. That's got to be on this.
Chris Gaines. That was it.
It is on the list.
And what was the point of that? So he's country's biggest star right at the time.
I know he's a big Kiss fan.
Came in number 13 on the list.
Yeah.
And he says, like, oh, I'm too big. I've got to be this weird. Like, and is it a different sound or is it country?
It became a rock star.
Ooh,
well,
a pseudo rock star.
No, never got the star part.
Well, in his mind, he wanted to be. That's why he did it.
It was also just a weird look.
Yeah.
And think of how big he was.
Yeah. Like, he was the biggest artist in the world.
Yeah.
Right,
arguably.
He's a superstar.
Right.
And he decided
three huge albums
this.
In a row.
Are them in the
top selling country act of all time. And he decides to take on this Chris Gaines persona.
Yep.
He even hosted Saturday Night Live, where he was Garth Brooks hosting,
right.
And Chris Gaines was the music act.
That's funny.
So he basically went backstage and put a beard and a fake. You know, little soul patch
right,
and a wig on.
And came out as himself and played
rock songs.
This is the point, Andy
Kaufman them.
He did.
This is the point where you're too famous and you don't have people around you to say, like, wait a second.
Right. Why would you do this?
You're surrounded by yes men who are like, oh, no, great idea.
What? Good one, boss.
And that one was really the end of.
That was,
you know,
the end of
killer
too,
country albums.
Yeah.
Yeah,
That's really funny. Do we have it, Phil? Do you have those? Is there a song?
Chris Gaines song?
Was there like a hit?
The 10-gallon hat.
Right? I'm going to look up a performance on SNL now. That's what I'm going to look it up.
So number four on this list is Eric Clapton.
Yeah,
goes all in on the vaccine conspiracy nonsense in 2020.
This is the problem with Rolling Stone, though. So Rolling Stone has an agenda, and they're trying to be relevant. This is a recency bias thing that puts this at number four.
Yeah,
right?
First of all, he was in a place in his career where he doesn't care anymore.
Right.
He doesn't need to come out with another album.
You won't see him at the end of, like, a parking lot holding a cardboard sign saying,
right. It was not a career ender. That doesn't place number four or anywhere on this list.
It should be on the list.
It doesn't even matter.
To all of us,
No. It was over the week after the story broke. Like, we had moved on.
I didn't like that Rolling Stone talked to me about that, and they quoted me in that article.
Whoops.
And they only put the line in where I said, well, it's like Grandpa. at the dinner table. You know, it's like you love your grandfather, but you don't agree with everything he says.
Wait, are you saying they only use a little piece?
They only use that. They didn't use all the other stuff
to,
I said.
To, like, you know, help.
The one right? time I'm quoted in Rolling Stone, right. it's like, Eric Clapton reads, like, who's this asshole? It's like, thank you, Rolling Stone!
I'm going to find him. I need some cocaine and go find him.
Did you find Chris Gaines?
Lost in You.
There's no more way.
Oh, this is rock? This isn't what I thought it was going to be at all.
If you're going to do rock, do rock.
Was it a tragic shipper accident?
It's like... You are my
God. Oh, what's that guy who...
Kenny Loggins?
Oh, it's like soft rock.
Like,
but R&B-ish.
Who's that guy?
Oh, who the hell does he sound like?
You're beautiful. Oh, yeah.
James Blunt?
James Blunt.
Isn't this like James Blunt?
A very random reference.
I'd love to try with James Blunt and like Christopher Cross.
Oh, this is... I thought it was going to rock.
I thought so, too.
This sucks.
I'll tell you that he is barefooted in this music video.
Oh, yeah. As you would be.
Yeah. It's weird, like yacht rock, but he's dressed like he should be singing like for like an emo band.
But this is the year 2000, right? 99, 2000, something like that?
I don't know.
That sound is not what I expected.
It's bad. Yeah. I don't think it's 2000. I think it's earlier.
I think so. Yeah, it's 90s.
Well, it's still not what
it's
I expected.
Bad. It still blows, right. Yeah.
But you would think someone with, you know, anybody in the music business at that time would pick up the phone. Like Garth Brooks is on the phone.
All right.
Got it. Like you would get someone who would be Bob Ezrin.
Right. Right.
You know, like a rock producer. Right.
Someone who actually makes it sound good. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Is Chinese Democracy on this list?
Yes, it is.
Oh, nice. Okay.
That is number 29.
I mean, that should be... That's a bigger deal than the Eric Clapton thing.
Oh, no doubt.
The fact that Use Your Illusion 1 and 2 come out, and then they can't figure it out. Like, they can't figure it out. They can't release this till 2008 after he fires everybody.
He fires everybody. They had a rotating cast.
Yeah.
Geffen Records offered Axel $1 million bonus to finish the record quickly.
Yep.
He did not. 15 years.
That's
by the
Axel
time he
Axel.
Got it done.
Yeah.
No one cared about Guns N' Roses.
No.
What would have happened if that came out? So Spaghetti Incident is like 93. So that comes out in 96, say.
Yeah.
Which is the same year Metallica Load comes out. So what happens? I would think it would be huge.
Huge.
You know, Kurt Cobain's dead. 1996, the music world is upside down. Jewel is played on rock radio stations.
Ew.
Like the swing music has come back.
Oh, yeah.
So what happens if Guns N' Roses delivers like a solid album in 1996? I think it's massive.
Yeah.
It was the waiting so many years. People were expecting it to be perfect. They were expecting to like hear 1989 all over again when they put it in.
It
just wasn't
back.
Close.
It was overproduced too.
Yep.
They spent too much time thinking about it.
They play some of those songs now when they tour.
They will play Chinese Democracy.
Yeah, to make folks leave, go to the bathroom.
People are like, oh, I should buy a $14 beer.
Yeah.
Number 11 on the list of worst decisions in music history or rock is Steven Van Zandt quitting the E Street Band just before the Born in the USA tour.
Ooh, bad timing.
Bad timing.
So I didn't even know that happened. When I read that yesterday, I said, oh, I had no idea. Why?
He wanted to do his own thing.
Oh, God.
Like, what?
He produced the River album.
Yep.
And I don't know if he produced Born in the USA. I'm not sure. But I know it was tough.
The River's
Bruce
huge.
Because we interviewed him about this backstage at a show
at
Mohegan Sun, which, by the way, because he never got up from the interview. We just kept asking him questions, and Bruce went on late.
Yep.
But he said, Bruce was really dark, and when I produced The River, all I wanted was us to be up and happy.
Right.
And so I think it was draining on him.
So he comes back to the band, what, in the late 90s?
Like yeah, it was after Tunnel of Love.
Right,
after,
and then those terrible, human touch garbage, right?
Terrible. Goes to Tom Joad.
But it's the live ones. You know, he gets to come back to the live shows and perform again. Like, that's
what everybody
Bruce.
Wants to see.
Yeah.
He's back on stage. Like, that's a win, ultimately.
And you can go see it at Mohegan for $7,000.
Yeah.
Tickets available now. It's
the divorce money.
Anything you want to add before we...
I think there's one on this list that I thought was kind of interesting, too. So Jane's Addiction breaks up before grunge becomes a thing. So Jane's Addiction, Pin Caught Stealing comes out in 1990 before Smells Like Teen Spirit. And then they break up and they disappear right when they could have been one of the biggest bands ever.
Right, now, they start a movement and get out just as the movement
catches
on.
What are you doing, guys? Now, Perry Farrell, it's gone fine for him because he invented Lollapalooza and he seems to have plenty of money. But it's just interesting that they didn't see the forest through the trees like, oh, our sound is becoming the sound that matters, and they break up ahead of time.
Right.
Number 44 is Justin Timberlake and Janet Jackson.
Oh,
that's way too low.
I mean, it was like it changed sort of how TV operates. It changed what you were allowed to say on radio too. I mean, that was a huge thing that happened.
And I went to pee right at that moment.
Oh, you didn't see it?
No.
The wrong person took the hit for that.
Yeah.
The NFL hired MTV to produce the halftime show because the halftime show was boring.
Yeah.
So MTV
hasn't changed.
The NFL wanted something edgy, something for kids.
Yes.
And so they get this. They knew what was going to happen.
Yeah.
And so Justin Timberlake pulls the patch off of her boob, and I had a big screen. It was my first Super Bowl with a big screen TV, and I see this big giant garbage can sized breast. I'm like in shock. I'm
this
like,
is
am
different.
I seeing what I'm seeing?
Boob right tube.
It is the most. This is such an old fun fact. It is the most rewound TiVo moment in history.
Wow.
So TiVo was the technology ahead of DVR.
Right.
That was the people who had TiVo was the most rewound moment in history because you could rewind live TV. That was their bit.
Yep. The guys that started YouTube said that was the exact moment. They were all talking about it the next day, and they're like, "Why can't we see that now?"
Yep.
And they built and created YouTube. Because
of Janet Jackson's boobs.
Yes. It should certainly be higher.
I had to pee so bad, I walked away for a second, go to the bathroom, come back. My phone is ringing off the hook. My friend Ross on Long Island going, "Oh my God, this is what just happened?" Slow down. Take a breath. What happened?
And Timberlake's admitted like, "Oh yeah, why did people get mad at her? It's my fault. I'm the jerk." Right.
Yeah.
Didn't affect his career at all, though. If anything, he became even bigger.
Yeah, more of a household.
Yeah, he was fine.
Yep.
Right, everything worked out. And she was already sort of a superstar and kind of near the end of her career, but it definitely propelled him more into the spotlight and turned him into, like, this kind of bad boy that wasn't the NSYNC guy.
It's hurt him recently, though. Like, his comments recently, like, not apologizing for it more emphatically. People were like, "Yeah, no, you kind of skated on this. Like, this isn't good enough."
Number 17 on the list is the Bee Gees and Peter Frampton make a film version of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
Terrible.
This was 1978. The Bee Gees and Peter Frampton couldn't be any bigger. Frampton Comes Alive and Saturday Night Fever sold a combined 10 zillion copies.
Wow.
That's an accurate number, by the way.
Yes, right. It is.
I've never seen that movie. No one has.
I saw bits and pieces, and each one was terrible.
I think the only good thing to come off of that is Aerosmith's Come Together.
Okay.
Right.
And then Earth, Wind, and Fire's Got to Get You Into My Life.
Even the trailer was terrible.
But Robin Gibb said at the time, "Kids today don't know the Beatles' Sgt. Pepper's. When ours comes out, it will be in effect as if theirs never existed."
And how'd that work out for you? Good. And how you doing? Good.
Problem.
Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
Yes, it is.
Right. It's a different time.
And this is the Bee Gees doing, Day
in the Life. He blew his mind
out in and if you think about it, this is only like 10 years after the real Sgt. Pepper's. Like, people did know it.
Yeah.
Right? It's not like it was 40 years later.
More exhausting Peppers.
And who's the lead? Like, who's the star of that movie?
It was the Bee Gees, and they needed a fourth person.
Right. So it's Frampton.
Right.
Oh, God. Oh, right. I think God Phil's right. Like, cocaine in the 70s.
Yeah.
That's when you're so big you think you could do anything. That's Garth Brooks.
Right. This is the Chris Gaines thing. Right.
Anything I do would be wonderful.
It's like, I could do it.
Yeah. Right.
No problem.
You need to always have somebody to say, like, whoa, pump
Hold
the
on.
Brakes. Right.
Ended up being one of the biggest flops in movie history.
In movie history.
Movie history at the time, yeah.
Yeah. This is really
it's a bad after-school special.
Yeah.
Right, it sounds like Schoolhouse Rock.
It does.
Yes,
it does.
Right.
The singing,
like one of those reality
singing
shows.
Bill was better.
It's the episode of American Idol where they get all the contenders stage.
Or Glee, an episode of Glee.
Right. Yep, yeah. It is. It's right in line with
it's
that.
It's a real fun list. You should look it up. Yeah. Rolling Stones' 50 Worst Decisions in Rock.